If you'll turn with me in your Bibles now to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, this morning we'll be looking at three verses, verses 16, 17, and 18. But for context, begin reading in verse 4 and read through verse 18. We begin then our reading in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Hear now God's word. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, you have instructed us, even in this passage, to hear and to take heed how we hear. Help us to do that now. To hear this word as it is, the very word of God to us. Speak to us now. We are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this time of year, in the stores, start to see a lot of shelves filled with a certain something. And I'm sure that many of you, especially you children, but also I would admit some of us adults, like candy. Candy. See it everywhere. Now, there are certain candies that you see and they're marked sharing size. And I will admit I see sharing size and I have some trouble with the sharing part. I like the size, but it's the sharing part that I have some trouble with. But they're made for sharing, right? There'll be times when I'm honest with you that I don't want to share. That's mine, I bought it. But they're made for sharing. But when you share that candy, you lose something, don't you? You have to give something up. But it's made for sharing, so I do share most of the time. But the gospel is so much sweeter than any candy that you will ever eat. In fact, one minister, Thomas Watson, said that unless sin be bitter, then Christ will not be sweet. But when we know our sin and misery, oh, the gospel is so sweet to our ears, isn't it? Because it's what we need. It's also a lot healthier than candy. But like candy, like those bags that say sharing size, when you receive the truth of God's word, when you receive the gospel, when God works in your heart, he gives you a sharing size. It's not simply for yourself. And the beauty of it is that as you share it, you're blessed. You're not giving up anything. You're actually gaining. We're going to see that this morning. In fact, when God has truly arrested your heart with the truth of the gospel, you will not be able to help but share what He has done and is doing in your life. Because that joy will bubble up out of that changed heart. You'll be like the one that the psalmist writes of, Psalm 45. In verse 1, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Psalm 45 is a beautiful picture in which the psalmist is speaking of the glorious nature of the relationship of God's people to him as a bridegroom to a bride and rejoicing in it. I will speak of my king. I will let it be known. So what I want you to understand is as you hear the word of God, and certainly we have been speaking over and over here the last few weeks about the importance of hearing the word of God, but I want you to understand this, that when you hear the word of God, it's not simply for you. It's not simply for you. Christianity is not a selfish religion. Here's the beautiful reality though. It's not simply for you, but unlike sharing that candy, you don't lose anything when you share it. You gain. You gain. So how you hear the word of God matters, not only for your own spiritual growth, but also for the spiritual good of others. We're going to see that. And I wonder, as we think about this morning, there's a question that I want you to have rolling around in your mind as you think about how you hear the word of God and why you hear the word of God. Do you do it with this conscious thought? God, what are you giving me today that you desire me to share with others? What are you giving me today from your word that you desire, you have planned out for me to share with others? And then the second thing that I want you to understand is that the more you study God's word, the more you hear it preached, the more you are in it, the more blessed you are going to be, because God is going to give you an increase in your understanding and all of the other blessings that come with that. The context here is one in which Jesus has begun this traveling ministry. In chapter 8, verse 1, we read that He's going through every city and village. He's preaching and He's bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He's bringing the good news to everyone. He's accompanied by the 12 disciples. He's also accompanied by various women who are supporting this mobile ministry. And He's been teaching here in this parable, and as we look at the passage today, on the importance of hearing. On the importance of hearing. He says, some who hear don't really hear. It's concealed from them. But some do hear the kingdom message. When the kingdom message is preached, like that seed that goes out, that is sown, it falls on hearts that are not prepared for it, and it does not produce anything, even though it may seem to produce something for a little while. But He gives us that great assurance, doesn't He? In verse 15, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, that prepared heart, cling to it, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. But then immediately Jesus goes on in our verses this morning, verses 16 through 18, to switch the picture. No longer is He speaking of a seed being sown, but a lamp being covered. But He's still speaking about hearing. He's speaking about what that fruit looks like. What is going to happen in our lives as we hear the word of God with that noble and that good heart? What's going to happen? What does the fruit of hearing look like? What are the proper results that come from the right hearing of God's word? And so what I want you to see this morning is simply this, that the proper hearing of God's word, when it falls on that good soil, that good and noble heart, results in others' spiritual good and also our spiritual blessing. Others' spiritual good and our spiritual blessing. And I want to encourage you this morning with this. That I want you to know that you, as you work hard, and I want to encourage you to work hard and diligently study the Word of God. Sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Not preaching that simply uses the Word of God as a touch-off point and then shares whatever else, but that sticks to the Word of God. and study the Word of God yourself. Because when you do, you will be used by God to bless others, and you will be greatly blessed yourself. So we're going to look at these two things that hearing results in. Hearing results in other spiritual good and our spiritual growth. Let's look first at the reality that hearing results in others' spiritual good. Now in verse 16 of Luke chapter 8, Jesus gives this illustration of a lamp. He says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed." Now, the lamp here is the revelation of God. In fact, we know that light, Jesus is the light that has come into the world. He is preaching that light-giving message that is delivering individuals from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God. And here, what we learn is that God has not designed His Word to remain hidden. God has not designed His Word to remain hidden. We see this illustration of the absurdity. Now, this lamp that Jesus is speaking of is not one of our electric lamps that we might have on our bedside table or in our living room, but this lamp would have been a clay vessel that would have been filled with oil. It would have had a place for a wick on one end. There would have been two holes in the top, one for air and one for oil. They would have filled it with oil, and they would have lit it. That would have given them light at night. No electricity at this time, so they needed to light the lamp. But he says here, the absurdity of hiding it. No one lights it and then covers it with a vessel. In the homes in this day, there would have been a bed. Sometimes it would have been a bed that would be rolled out, but there would also have been vessels, cooking vessels. You wouldn't take that lamp, light it, you have some friends over to the house, you light it, and then you just put the vessel right over it and it goes dark. That'd be foolish. Also, you wouldn't take it and you wouldn't say, "Now hang on, I'm going to light the lamp, but I'm going to unroll my bed and I'm going to just put it over the lamp." Or if a bed was raised, you're not going to put it under there. What's going to happen to the bed? Well, it may catch on fire. But the main point here is that you're not going to see the light. And the light is not going to do what it is designed to do. In other words, God has not designed His Word to remain hidden. God has designed His Word to be seen, to shed light. Jesus is that light who has come into the world. He has made it known. The apostles were called to do that same thing. Those who receive the Word with a noble and good heart are then not to cover it up, but to shine it brightly. As a minister, that's what I'm called to do. I'm called to bring forth the truth of God's Word to God's people and to all who are here, to shine that light out there. The light of Christ, so that you, as you see Christ in it, may also go forth and shine that same light to others. In fact, look with me at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Here's Paul's description of those he's writing to, those in the church. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. No doubt that we also live in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. And yet here the calling is that we are to shine as lights in this world. Every Christian is a light. Think about it. God is working in you. If you're in Christ, God is working in you. You are His workmanship, aren't you? Yeah, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. God is the greatest artist ever. And He's working in you. You don't hide the work of an artist, but you display it. God wants you to go out and be displayed, even in all of your weaknesses, as a testimony. In fact, your weaknesses are going to be a greater testimony to His grace, aren't they? Wow, you? Yeah, me. And God can save you as well. Instead, that's that light that we are called to be. And we might say that you are God's testimony of His grace to those that you meet. They may see that light in you. But God has not designed His Word to remain hidden any more than a lamp should be placed under a bed or under a vessel. But God will not allow his word to remain hidden. Look with me back at Luke in chapter 8. In verse 17, he goes on. After he said in verse 16, you put the lamp on the lampstand. Why? So that those who enter may see the light. He goes on, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. The Greek behind nothing is secret is a double negative. It's emphatic. No, certainly not. There is nothing secret that will not be revealed. Now, certainly, there's the reality. When we think of all of those passages that deal with the judgment of God, certainly he will reveal all of the secrets on that day of his appearing. But here in the context, we understand that God is going to reveal his gospel through the apostles, especially as he sends them out after his ascension to go and gives them that great commission. And how encouraging this is. As I thought about this, this is encouraging to me as a minister. Because God's word, as it is proclaimed, will not be able to be hidden. It will not be able to be placed under that basket. It will not be able to be hidden under that bed, but it will shine forth with a brightness. And God uses us to do that. Now, God will do it apart from us, but I'm encouraging you to be used of God to do it. Be that instrument in the Redeemer's hands, as Paul Tripp says. Doesn't matter how much the world tries to cover over the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will never be successful. They can suppress the truth in unrighteousness, but the truth will be known. In fact, God desires us to do this, and if we don't do it, Jesus says even the rocks would cry out. I will be praised. I will be proclaimed. Now, in order to do this, we have to know what we are proclaiming. We have to have that word, like that seed that has come and fallen upon our hearts. But I want to warn you about something. Because here we're going to get into the fact that we need to heed how we hear. But I want to warn you about this. Growing in your theological knowledge is important, but it's not the end goal. It's not the end goal. Growing in your theological knowledge is good, but if you're studying simply to increase your own knowledge, if you're studying, in other words, just to keep it to yourself, you're not using it as God would have you use it. It ultimately leads us to Christ, but it also then leads us to the proclamation of Christ to others. This struck me, this line from J.C. Ryle. He says this, "The highest form of selfishness is that of the man who is content to go to heaven alone." Content to go to heaven alone. I'm saved. I've got it. I understand the gospel. I'm good. That's selfishness, isn't it? Selfishness. No. Tell others about Jesus. Tell others about who you know, about what he has done in history and for you. Don't be afraid. Now, don't be obnoxious about it. You know, I've certainly turned the light on my children, and they have screamed in horror as they were sleeping, and I had to wake them up, and I flipped the light on. It's been dark, and you probably had that experience. The light hits your eyes, and it's a shock. So don't go in there with a spotlight and shine it right in the individual's eyes if they've been walking in darkness. You may need to use a dimmer switch. Bring it slowly, bring it gently, but bring it to them. Bring it to them, but be wise about how you do it. And don't be afraid to do it. Look with me at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. Jesus is teaching here in Matthew chapter 10. And in verses 26 through 28, he's going to encourage the disciples and all who will proclaim his word to continue on. Listen to this in Verse 26, after in verse 25, he says, a disciple is going to be like his teacher. Jesus certainly was called of the house of Beelzebub. That is, they accused Jesus of actually being under the influence of Satan. But in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says this, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, Jesus says here, don't fear them, don't fear man, don't fear anybody that is standing against you. But you go and you proclaim it. What I speak to you in the dark, what I speak to you in private, go and proclaim it publicly. Don't be afraid of them. They can't really do anything to you. Even your body, if they take it, I will resurrect it. But have before you the fear of him who is able to destroy body and soul in hell, and come to people with that light, knowing that that's what they face. That's what they face. They face standing before the God who will destroy both body and soul in hell. Be more afraid for the condition of other souls than you are for your own comfort as you proclaim the word. And not only do that in word, but also in deed, show others the love of Jesus and how you serve. He who came not to be served, but to serve, calls us to do the same. And there are people out there right now walking in darkness. There are people out there right now who have no idea where they are going. No idea. Let us bring them the light. As elsewhere Jesus says, God does not give us talents, God does not give us things in order that we bury them, but that we use them. And so this hearing, when properly heard, will be a blessing to those with whom we have to do in the world, especially those then God has called to himself and uses us as the means to bring him to that place of salvation. But also I want you to see that we will be blessed in the process. Not only does this proper hearing result in other spiritual good, but it also results then in our spiritual growth. Back in Luke chapter 8, I want you to look with me at verse 18. Hearing results in our spiritual growth. Jesus once again warns, therefore take heed how you hear. And he describes two individuals here. Whoever has, to him more will be given. That's the first individual, who has and will gain more. The second individual, whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Jesus brings out the truth here that there are only really two responses to the Word of God, ultimately, to hearing it. There's no neutrality. When you hear the Word of God, you are either advancing in it or you are declining in it. In spiritual matters, standing still is not an option. Not an option. So everyone responds to God's word in one of two ways. Either you are the one who has, that is, you, the one who is hearing, or you are the one who does not have, the one who is not hearing. And only one of these two responses results in spiritual growth. We see that. Whoever has, whoever is hearing, to him more will be given. Whoever has, whoever is gaining, whoever is acquiring knowledge of God through his word, God's going to open up more to you. It's like digging in a mine and finding riches and then digging deeper. And the deeper you go, the more riches you find. That's the picture here. This is heaven's rule, isn't it? You reap what you sow. But the guarantee here, and hear this, and be encouraged by this, whoever has, whoever is hearing, and God has worked in your heart, you're hearing, guess what? More will be given. That's a promise. If you have, if you're hearing, if you are hearing with that heart that has been regenerated, you will, as you study God's word, advance in knowledge. You will advance in love and holiness and joy and every other blessing that comes through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. John, the apostle, says that, John 1:16, we receive grace upon grace. Grace after grace after grace after grace. And so the deeper we go into God's Word as we study, the more we know, the more we grow. I've heard it said this way. The Bible is shallow enough, like that shallow pool that a child may wade in for the newest Christian. But it is so deep that I don't care how long you have lived, I don't care how long you have been a Christian, you're not going to plumb the depths of it. Because it speaks of God. It speaks of God. Even in all eternity, think about this, we will never, because we are created, plumb the depths of God. And I'm thankful for that because I love to learn. And that I'm not going to ever get to a point where I'm not going to be excited about learning something else about God or His creation. And here's the other encouragement is that God will never hide His Word from those who diligently seek it. Ask, seek, and knock. There's nothing secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be made known. And for those who take heed how you hear, whoever has and is hearing, to him more will be given. If you come to the Word of God and you desire to learn and you want to draw closer to God, God will give you that blessing. But here's the responsibility that we have. We must come to God's Word by faith. I'd look at Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is really warning, a warning message to those who might want to go back to the way of the Jews, go back to that Old Testament, the types and the shadows. And listen to this. This is in Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The gospel was preached. The gospel has been preached all throughout history, and yet there are those who don't hear it because it is not mixed with faith. They don't have that true faith. They know a lot about the Word of God, but they don't have that hearty trust that Christ has done this for them. But also it must be heard faithfully. Take heed how you are hearing, present tense, for whoever is having, present tense. Do not rely on what you heard yesterday for today's nourishment. Do not rely on what you heard last Sunday for today's nourishment. But be nourished every day by the Word. We must be like those Berean hearers that are described for us in Acts chapter 17. I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Paul and Silas have come to Berea. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And listen to this description of the Bereans. Verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. They were prepared to receive it. And searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They were prepared to receive it and they took advantage of it. I tell you, those in Berea would be prime examples of those who have and to whom more is being given. And that's who I want you to be. I want you to be those who have, who are hearing, and who are receiving more and more. I want to hear you come to me and say, Pastor, I was reading this in the Bible and I'm so excited about this. Did you know this? And maybe it's something that I didn't think about that, but wow, praise God, look what He's given to you. Look at the wisdom that He's given to you. I don't want you to miss out on this blessing, but the warning here is clear. The second person, whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. I can't think of anything much worse than losing the ability to hear God in His Word. Taken from Him. May that never be. Ever. Never. To live a life where you don't hear God speak to you would be horrible. Horrible. And yet, here's the picture. It's taken from those who harden their hearts against the word. Whoever does not have, whoever is not hearing, whoever does not care at all about the word of God. We're told that that person never even really had true faith. Look, what he seems to have, I don't care how knowledgeable a person is, if they end up neglecting the word of God, looking away from who the word of God points to, the Lord Jesus Christ, they only seem to have. They never had that seed in their heart in the first place. And it will be taken from them. I don't want that to happen to any of you. I do not want the word of God to be taken from you. So be diligent in your study of it. But be encouraged in your study of it. Knowing that to he who has more will be given. And you have been given so much already in Christ, haven't you? Think about it. In Christ, you've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The question to ask is not, what do I have in Christ, but what don't I have? Because I have everything in Christ. He is, to me, everything. You've been given the mind of Christ, who is the wisdom of God. You've been given the ability by His Spirit to understand the Word of God and to profit from it. And God promises you then, as you do, as you grow, as you seek each day to be in His Word, as you sit under the preaching of His Word, here's the promise to His people. These two results will come about. First, you will become a spiritual blessing to others. You will not be able to contain what is in you. As you are fired up, as it were, by the Word of God through the Spirit, you will want to go out and shine that light and tell others about it because of what God has done for you. Be that light shining in dark places. And God will use that light to bring His people out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. To quote J.C. Ryle one more time, no candle which God lights was ever meant to burn alone. Ever meant to burn alone. Be that light. But second, the more you use God's word by hearing it preached, by reading it yourself, the more spiritual understanding you will be given by God. Not simply because you are learning, but God will open up things to you. That's the joy of reading the Bible. You'll read passages that you read before, and you read them again, and you come to new understandings because God is opening up new things to you. Bringing out things old and new from His Word. This is heaven's rule. The one who has more of God's Word in them will be given more understanding of God's Word. But be careful, the opposite is true. What you don't use, you will lose. Because you never had it in the first place. To him who does not have, even what he seems or thinks he has will be taken from him. Use the Word of God with profit. You've been given a great gift. You've been given faith. You've been given that ability. You read the Word not as those to whom it was preached to who missed the point because they read it without faith being mixed in, but you read it by faith. You've been given, as Jesus says here, the privilege of knowing the mysteries of the kingdom of God, particularly in the gospel. The mysteries of the kingdom of God, the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. But remember, you've been given the sharing size, right? You've been given the sharing size. You're commanded then to go out and proclaim that good news. How can we selfishly hold on to it? How can we fail to go and to proclaim to all the world the good news of what God has done in history and what God has done for us personally? That's that light shining, isn't it? And as a Christian, as one who has been regenerated by the Spirit of God, how can we not love the Word of God? How can we not desire to be in the Word of God and grow in it and be encouraged by the fact that God is going to reveal more and more to us? Reading the Bible is the most exciting thing, really, that you can do. It's a book unlike any other. Come to the Bible and pray, God, reveal to me great things from Your Word. I'm excited about what You want to tell me because I know that what You are giving me today, You are giving me so that You can work through my life to the benefit of others. And while that happens, I'm blessed as well. So going back to Psalm 45, we referenced that earlier. That heart that is described as overflowing with a good theme. with a hand that is ready, that pen that is ready. May we think that our lips might be ready instruments to proclaim God's grace. So what I want to encourage you to do is not simply sit and hear the Word of God, but to take it, to think on it, to meditate upon it, to understand what God has done for you, and then go out. Go out and tell others. Make it known to all men, because there are those out there that God has determined to bring from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and He very well wants to use you to do it. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, thank You for Your Word and that You give us the ability to hear. We don't ever want to lose that. May it never be said of any of us that we were those who only seemed to have knowledge of Your Word, but that it was taken from us. Give us diligence in the hearing and the reading of Your Word. Open wondrous things in Your Word to us. Remind us of those things that we have learned, and reveal to us new and glorious truths, that we might be used of You to be that light in this dark world, to share Your grace with all with whom we come in contact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.